As I said, parents, thank you for coming. We have had an incredible weekend here. God has poured out his mercy, his power, his love upon us this weekend. As I mentioned, this is an empowerment talk. It's designed to help parents synthesize what has happened here this weekend, but also to help challenge the students to live their newly refurbished Catholic faith out in the real world. Rewinding to Friday night, there is this nervous energy in each and every one of us. We were unsure, where are we going? What is going to happen this weekend? Even those of us who had schedules in our hands were a little bit unsure and a little bit afraid that 47 confirmation candidates were about to descend upon us. But the amazing thing is that our God went to work in many different ways over the course of this weekend. Our leaders, our speakers, our chaperones, thank you so much for all that you have done, because God has worked through you. Holy candidates, I watched as these people spoke. I watched as the ground that you stood upon was fortified. And then last night, as you lined up for the sacrament of confession, I heard you making all the necessary repairs to your houses. And then as we encountered God in the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, divinity, last night in Eucharistic adoration, I watched as God entered your home and said, I love you, you are forgiven. Let's spend some quality time together. What a powerful, God-filled weekend we have had. Parents, at the parent meeting, I told you that this can be a life-changing experience, an experience that will last with your son and daughter for the rest of their lives. The overall message of this weekend has been that God is not distant, God is not far, and God is certainly not dead. He is alive. He is working and breathing in each and every one of us. And there's not a single person here in this room that can deny that. Not a single candidate in this room that can deny that God has worked powerfully this weekend. They cannot sweep that message back under the rug. In some ways, it is the end of a longing. This is now. But it's also the beginning of a road. While this is a powerful, life-changing experience, it is just one of the many encounters that we can have with God in our Catholic faith. The journey does not end here. It begins here. And our parish librarian at St. Francis has a fabulous line. And she says, if people really knew the richness of the Catholic faith, they would never leave. So if we're chasing an experience, because we like it, then we're in it for the wrong reasons. If we say, I just like going on confirmation retreats, I just like going on mission trips, I just like going to Mass at Christmas and Easter, we're missing the fullness of the Catholic Church. And it's hard for us who have been on this weekend to separate our emotions from the from that statement sometimes. We have a reliance almost on one another because we've bonded over the course of the weekend. But we must challenge ourselves now to go out and to serve, and to live our faith passionately and boldly. That includes becoming obedient to all of the Catholic teachings and doctrines. And you know, that's really hard. Because I often hear it, and I've heard it this weekend in different ways, from people, parents, teens, my own family members. They say, I don't like that about the Catholic Church. I'm not going to do that. I don't believe that. But the only way that our foundation will remain strong is if we root it in Jesus Christ and His Holy Catholic Church. The St. Paul's letter to the Romans states this very, very well. It's chapter 6, verses 16 to 18, and it says, "Do you not know that if you present yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that although you were once slaves of sin, you have become obedient from the heart to the pattern of teaching to which you have been entrusted. Freed from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness." We cannot be slaves to both sin and to God. We cannot have one foot in one door and one foot in the other. It is impossible. We also cannot be slaves if we are masters. And I think that we have learned here this weekend, candidates, that we are definitely not masters. So what does this mean for us as Catholics? We must become obedient to the heart, from the heart, to the pattern of teaching to which we were entrusted, the teachings of the Catholic Church. So if we say on the street that I'm Catholic, and we're going to make that very loud public proclamation when we get confirmed at the end of this year, when we say that, I want to be confirmed, what happens? We are stating, I'm Catholic. And so, if we say I'm Catholic on the street, we have to try and be obedient to everything the Church teaches. It's what we mean when we stand up at Mass every single Sunday and we say, I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic Church. And it's possible to do something that you don't agree with. There's not a single person in this room that believes perfectly every teaching of the Catholic Church, myself included. Myself is included in that. And I am sure we would say many of the clergy are included in that. We all struggle with different aspects and attributes of the Catholic Church's teaching. But that doesn't mean that we cannot fail and fall sometimes at understanding those teachings. It doesn't mean that we're not allowed to completely fall off the wagon. It's completely possible, and it's going to happen. The best part about being Catholic is that we have the sacraments. And in the sacraments, God picks us back up, and His merciful love welcomes us back home. These are the tools that we have to overcome our doubts and our fears. I will tell you that each and every retreat participant here this weekend has what they need to become faithful and good Catholic leaders. The foundation has been built. We learned these most profoundly last night in the sacraments. First, we celebrated the sacrament of confession. And in this sacrament, the endless ocean of mercy is poured out into our souls. In this amazing sacrament, our sins are forgiven, washed away forever. And you know what? We need this sacrament on a regular basis in our lives. Why? Because we fail and we fall. And as we believe, through the priest and only the priest, our sins are absolved. Our sins are absolved. Second, Eucharistic adoration last night was incredibly powerful. We witnessed the unbridled power of the triune God in adoration last night. God's power was dripping from the ceiling. Make no mistake about it. The Eucharist is the source and summit of the Christian life. That's what the Catechism says. The source and summit. It's not a symbol. It's not a piece of bread. It is not a mid-morning snack. It is the King of the universe. It is our God. It is Jesus Christ, who is Lord and Savior of each and every one of us, and we need him weekly. Some of us need him daily. What a blessing it is for those who can attend Mass every day. But I told the candidates last night that a quote from Pope Emeritus Benedict, he says, Eucharistic adoration prolongs and intensifies the Eucharistic sacrifice. What we're about to do at Mass is the closest thing we can get to God on this earth. We receive the Eucharist, and God enters into our bodies. He becomes a part of us. He takes on our sinful nature. But Pope Emeritus Benedict says this, that Eucharistic adoration prolongs and intensifies that sacrifice. And as he prolongs and intensifies the sacrifice, as we sit there and pray with God, I said, think about this. The God that created you is no more than 20 feet from you. The very God that created all this beautiful landscape that we drove through is no more than 20 feet from you. And let me tell you, today, he's going to be inside of us. There's no greater communion we can have with God on this earth than the reception of the Eucharist. Simply, this is Jesus. And it's been what we were all waiting for. Again, these are the tools, the sacraments are the tools that we have to overcome our doubts, our fears, our worries, our shortcomings, and evil in this world. What an amazing gift it is to be a Catholic. What an amazing gift it is to be a Catholic. I thank God every day that for my Catholic faith. Again, we've had an awesome and powerful weekend here. And as your kids, I hope, will tell you later, we have had an awesome experience. And we are very, very close to God. God is pleased and God is happy with us. There's another side of the coin, however, that we often don't like to talk about. It's one that we must talk about, especially as we leave this retreat. Satan hates what we have done here this weekend. He despises it. And he wants to take every stone that we have piled up and fortified our house with this weekend. He wants to turn them to rubble. He wants to bring us back to square one. And I guarantee you that he has the storms and tornadoes and the hurricanes ready, waiting for us as we leave this retreat center. Satan is going to tempt us and entice us to fall back into our old habits. Candidates, I've already told you this, but I will tell you again. This is going to be a tough week for you. You are going back to familiar situations. You're going back to places and situations, text messages and parties and Twitter and Facebook, and school, where temptation runs rampant. You must be on guard. You must be on guard. St. Paul gives us some great advice again in Ephesians. In Ephesians, he says, in chapter 6, verses 10 to 17, he says, finally, draw your strength from the Lord and from his mighty power. Put on the armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the tactics of the devil. For our struggle is not with the flesh and the blood, but with the principalities, with the powers, with the rulers of this present darkness, with the evil spirits in the heavens. Therefore, put on the armor of God, so that you may be able to resist on the evil day, and having done everything to hold your ground. So stand fast, with your loins girded in truth, clothed with righteousness as a breastplate, and your feet shod in readiness to spread the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, hold faith as a shield, to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You have everything you need. You have everything you need, candidates, to live a life of leadership and grace within the Catholic Church. And we need each and every one of you. My final advice is to hold the deepened faith that you have in front of you as that shield. The arrows of the evil one will be quenched. If you fall, more like when you fall, get back up. Go to confession. Go to the Eucharist and put back on that helmet of salvation. Once again, you will be ready to spread the gospel of peace. Candidates, I'd also like to remind you of your number one goal in life. Your number one goal is to get to heaven. It's the number one goal of each and every one of us on this earth, is to get to heaven. It's not about the football teams or your boyfriend or your girlfriend, your mom or your dad. It's about you getting to heaven. And the second goal is to help as many people as you possibly can to get there. As we ready ourselves for Mass, I'm going to ask that we stand, and on the back of your sheet, back of your lyrics, there is the prayer to St. Michael the Archangel. Let us pray that for protection here today. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And to thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the other evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.